Hi, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you very much for today, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. Come have your presence with us, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord. I pray that that you anoint my tongue, Lord, that anything that I share will be of you, Lord. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not register in the minds of people that are listening, Lord. I pray that your presence will be upon us. And come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way in today's sharing. In your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hi, good morning, everyone. Today I'll take a short break from the book of John, something that I was sharing from on the Upper Room Discourse. And I just want to feel like that I'm going to share something different. It's something I've shared before as well, but I just felt like that is something that will encourage those people that are hearing. So with that, we'll be reading from Exodus 6, verses 1 to 8. So let's turn our Bibles to Exodus 6, verses 1 to 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion, he will let them go, and under compulsion, he will drive them out of his land." God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, Lord, I will not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them and to give them the land of Canaan, the land which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because of the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore, the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Amen. So before I go into what I wanted to share today, I just want to give a bit of a background on what happened before chapter 6. So in Exodus chapter 5, the chapter ended at a low point where God began to act on behalf of his people who have been under slavery and oppression, but Pharaoh reacted very negatively. In his response, Pharaoh increased the hardship on the Israelites. Not only that they have now to meet the quota of making bricks, but then they have to find their own straws, which was one of the materials required to make strong bricks. And obviously, the Israelites turned against Moses and started questioning Moses, in a sense, also questioning God, because Moses was sent by God to deliver them, right? They were saying, "God sent you to deliver us, Moses? Where's the deliverance? All you managed to do is to make things worse. Not only that we are physically beaten, but now we have to complete the same quota without any straws. So we have to find our own materials and make the bricks and then put it and make stuff. So our work is effectively doubled. Why have you brought this trouble on us, Moses?" And Moses went to God and complained. He complained that God haven't done what he promised him to do. He said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble to these people? Is this why you have sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name." In other words, ever since I've been obedient to you, God, things haven't been smooth at all. And you have not rescued your people, the promise that you made. That was chapter 5, and it was rather discouraging in terms of someone who has been faithful or who has been following God and who has been a God's chosen leader and for the people that he wanted to deliver. But then in chapter 6, we find a totally different story and a totally different response from God. And for today's sharing, I want to focus on verses 6 to 8. And this is where God said seven times, I will, to Moses. And hope this will encourage you today as well. So one thing to notice here in verses 6 to 8 is that each of these I wills spoken by God are spoken as past tense, not future tense. So God was seeing them as being completed already. It is the key to understand how God sees his promises to us. He sees them as already being done. So in a quick sharing, let's go into the seven I wills. So the first one is related to salvation. God said, I will bring you out from the burdens. The Israelites were in the worst condition during the rule of Pharaoh. For 400 years, they were under the oppression of Pharaoh. Pharaoh will force their children to do hard labor. Probably all the pyramids and sphinx that we see today in Egypt are most likely built by the Israelites. These pyramids were giant, and it took a lot of bricks and a lot of effort to build one, let alone the heat and all those things. Egypt in the Bible has always been a representation of the world and the worldly system. God was saying, I am going to save you from the worldly system and lift you out of slavery of this world, giving you meaning for this life and not just burdened by this world, but will free you from the burden of sin. One of the greatest burdens for us is the need of forgiveness. And God, our Heavenly Father, really want to bring salvation into our lives so that we can be living this life without any burdens of sin. Whenever this happens, I always have this story that I've heard from a sermon like a long before, and it stuck into my mind, which I also wanted to share again. So there was this story happened, took place in Spain. So there was a man named Pedro, who had an adolescent son with whom the relationship was difficult. Every day, their conversation basically were filled with shouts and insults. Paco, the son, reproached his father for not understanding him, and Pedro reproached his son for being a rebel. One day, the son leaves the house. The panicked father searched everywhere for his son. He ran to all his friends. He went to bars where he used to go. He went even to the house where Pedro will make his music with his friends. But Paco was not seen anywhere. Finally, running out of ideas and not knowing what to do, he put an article in the daily newspaper El País from Madrid. The article said simply, Paco, I forgive you with all my heart. Come home. I love you and I miss you terribly. Come meet me tomorrow at noon in front of the newspaper office at the main square. Your father who loves you. The next day, the father obviously hurried to the newspaper office. And to his surprise, there were 800 Paco waiting for him. Each one thinking that it was the message for them that their father was addressing to. And each one had come searching for love and the forgiveness from their father. Man's greatest need is forgiveness, and God's greatest deed is forgiving. He gave his only begotten son for me and you. If you walked away or never had a relationship with your Heavenly Father for whatever reason, he's waiting for you to come back. It is simple. Just say sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry for things that we've done to hurt him. Thank you for sending Jesus for dying for our sins. And invite him to come into our life. Just say, Jesus, please come into my life. It's that simple. And Jesus will come in. And there will be salvation. The second I will is related to freedom. God said, I will deliver you from bondage. God was saying, I will bring freedom and liberation. How does God liberate us? He changes us from the inside out. If you feel that there's that you're addicted to something, it could be anything, alcohol, smoking, shopping, anything, ask God to change you from the inside out. Pray to Him and resist the temptation of that addiction. Even though it is difficult and a full withdrawal may take time, but as brothers and sisters, we are to look to God who and where the help comes from. So set our hearts on things above and pray God will give us the strength and to gain the victory in this trial. Don't leave God out of any attempt to overcome any addiction, because He's the only one who can bring us out. Third is related to redemption. God said, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Here God is saying that I am going to do anything as long as I can lift you up again. I'm going to do anything as long as I can win you back. For us, it means His arms has been stretched out on the cross for us. He proved His love for me and He's proved His love for you by stretching His arms on the cross. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. It talks about the blessing of God and His forgiveness stretched from east to west. In my early days, this was quite a revelation for me. Because have you ever thought why here the Bible didn't say north to south or south to north? If you travel all the way from North Pole and you reach South Pole, the next step you take, you'll be going back to north again. What does that mean? That means there's a limit. But if you walk towards east, no matter how long you walk, you will be only walking towards the east. Of course, the other way around, if you walk towards the west, you will only be walking towards the west, which means east and west are infinite and never end. God is saying, my love for you and my willingness to forgive you and lifting you back up is infinite. And also, a side note, this verse alone can debunk some of the misconception people had about Bible is not scientific or Bible talks about a flat earth. This verse clearly implies that David, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew that the earth was round way before any modern scientific findings. The next is related to adoption. I will take you for my people. God made the Israelites His family, and God is telling everyone who is feeling that there's no family for us that He is your family. He is your father. And He has blessed you with the Christian community and family around you. There's a family in your house church where you can reach out and spend time together. You are never alone and will never be alone because God of the universe has taken you as His son and daughter. So never let the enemy put this thought in our mind that we are alone, because we are not. We are never going to be alone because we have God, our Father. Fifth is related to relationship. God said, I will be your God. God revealed Himself to the people of Israel and promised them that He will be with them forever and have a permanent relationship with them. God is also telling us that He will reveal Himself to us and show us another dimension of God that we didn't know before personally. So you may ask, how to see Him and have a greater relationship and revelation of God? I think it's pretty simple. Just ask. Just ask Him to reveal Himself in ways that we haven't experienced before. I'm sure with the relationship and the want that God wants to have a relationship with us, He will reveal Himself in ways that we can never imagine and will just keep us and put us in awe of His goodness. Sixth is the direction. God said, I will bring you into the promised land. So it was not the Israelites that walked into the promised land. They were brought into it. They were guided into the promised land. So God is going to complete the work that he has started for you. Just as an encouragement, you may think that or feel that God has dumped you along the road somewhere and think that God has lost his plans for you. No, he will complete whatever he has promised for you. If the calling is from God, he will bring you to the promised land. I hope this encourages anyone who's listening. If the calling was from God, he will bring you to the promised land. So do not get discouraged. The final one is provision. I will give it to you as a heritage, God says to the Israelites. And he also is saying to us, here God is saying that he will take care of all the needs of you and your family. Psalm 31 verse 25 says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. It's a promise. It's a promise from God to all of us that he will provide in everything and we will not lack in anything. It may sound daunting or even worrying at this moment, but there is a heritage for you and for me, and God is going to give us that heritage that he has planned for us. So stay encouraged and stay strong. With that, may I invite Pastor Ernie to prepare us and to worship. So seven times, God said, I will to the Israelites. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will also speak to each one of us on these seven I wills. Whatever your situation is, whatever you're going through, I just feel that God wants to all of us to remember these seven promises that he has for us. I will bring you out from the burdens. I will deliver you from bondage. I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you for my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the promised land. I will give it to you as a heritage. I will. God declares, and if you notice, all of these are unconditional. Did God ever ask the Israelites to do anything for them? Nope. What the Israelites were doing, they were only complaining and grumbling. But God said, I'm going to do it anyway. In the same way, you and I don't have to do anything, and he will keep his promises. Like the seven I will, which was spoken by God, as it has already been done, if the promise again is from God, rest assured, it will come to pass. And we can just enjoy the ride. So with that faith and confidence, let's spend some time in thanksgiving and thank God for all his promises. And let's thank God for the promises that he has given us, like it has been already been done. If we have that attitude, and let's spend some time in praying and giving thanks to God.
The King of my heart, shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are. You are good, you're good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the wave, oh, he is mine. The king of mine, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. The king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is mine. The king of my heart, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, is my song, for you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. Never gonna let me down, no, no, no. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down, Lord. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're
good. You are good to us. Your promises never fail. Whatever you have promised us, you'll make it happen. You'll come to pass. And I pray for all of us here that whatever that is bringing us down, whatever thing that is trying to put us down, I pray that all those things will not have their way. Come, Holy Spirit, come have your way in us, Lord, that we'll be encouraged and not discouraged. We'll be lifted up and not pushed down, Father God, Lord, because you are good. You are good. Promises that. With this promise, with this confidence, we will live our lives. We'll act according to the promises that has already been made. Every action and step we take, Lord, will be with this mindset that you are good. Whatever you have promised is already done. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you. With that, we're going to go for the morning prayers. Let's lift everyone that is going through cancer. Let's lift up everyone that is ill, but also is in need of salvation. Let's pray for God to reveal himself to all of them. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are going through infirmities. Let's pray for those that are going through COVID. Let's also lift up the frontline medical workers who are working tirelessly. The situation, the circumstances. Let's pray for our community who's looking for jobs. let's turn our attention to mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, with his spouse, Pastor Jenny Oh. For North Korea to open doors for ministry, any missional opportunities or partnerships in Asia, and also persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's lift up all the SP weekend gatherings, the Sunday service, the Bell, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, classes and outreaches, all the meetings. Let's lift up the pregnant mothers, Ina, Rachel, and others. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today, Bowen, Hollywood, Marwan, and Southside. Yes, Father God, thank you for that your promises never fail. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come as a community to just pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through different things. We pray for that all the promises that you have given to all each and every one of them and us, Lord, that will come to pass. You are a good, good Father. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the rest of the day, the rest of the weekend, and may we continue to glorify you. And just as sermon said in the, with peace and love, that will lift you up in everything. And that will be our sole focus. In your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. And have a nice weekend and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.